I think spirituality has a lot to say about navigating journeys that you haven't taken before. It's also a lot to do with this making decisions, making good decisions, and knowing what it is, whether you call it the Holy Spirit, whether you call it the little voice inside, whether you call it your basic intuition. I think that that's very important in terms of conducting a celebratory kind of sexual life. And that goes for everybody, not just teenagers. That goes right through until you hit, you know, the tomb. But it's also the thing that, yeah, you're dealing with something very powerful in both circumstances. And it's how to handle that power. And it's to get beyond the cliches. So, for example, in some schools, I'm surprised and I'm really aghast that there's so little work done around sexuality.
Is it a subject that teachers are in general afraid to touch?
Yeah, they don't want to do it because naturally they think it's to do that they're going to have to reveal too much of themselves. And maybe they will and maybe they won't. But really, you know, somebody has to do it because, you know, the way that I'm coming at it is that, like, yeah, let's talk about the images that you're seeing and that you're getting all the time. And let's talk about what it means to make good ethical decisions around your sexuality. Let's talk about the pornographic industry, which, you know, young boys are being targeted around. And those things you can do without it becoming creepy and cringy. You just have to all the time figure out what is going on. So, for example, if you have a debate around pornography, all you really have to do is say, who's getting paid what in this image? You know, we'll just break this down a little now. And, you know, and so, okay, so there's a man and woman. Where do you think she's come from? Where do you think he's? Okay, how do they distribute that image? You know, who's involved? And again, it's an economic question. And it's quite simple to get to the heart of a kind of an authentic sexuality when you start bringing in very clearly defined economic, philosophical and spiritual kind of boundaries. You know, are you prepared to do this? And of course, spirituality has a huge amount to say about sexuality, since, you know, it really is the most powerful connection we have with somebody else. And it's even more powerful when there's love involved and tenderness. And it's even more destructive when there's not. So you get that voice very clearly from the teenagers. They do talk in the, especially girls, talk in that very strong language of what it's like to feel ashamed and dirty. And all of that, you know, that very deep, you know, I suppose, shattered feeling when they've been in a sexual relationship or liaison or whatever, and it hasn't been celebratory and tender and positive and life-giving. It's, you know, and so they know the big division in that world between something being life-giving and something being life-destroying. It's relentless for both girls and boys that they have to act a certain way, and that way is very sexualized, you know? And that's a very adult way of seeing it. So they don't have a recourse into a punk culture or into a hippie culture or into a new age culture that, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s allowed people. It's very hard to see where the counterculture is with young people in Ireland now. They don't look weird because they look nailed up, hair extensions. You know, they are...
The lack of weirdness is in a way almost disturbing as perhaps the goth and the hippie.
They don't there's nowhere else to go in Ireland now. I mean, what are you going to do? Go back into a kind of traditional Irish music culture? Yeah. Or into a sports culture? Yeah. Right on. But in England, if you go, I mean, when I lived in London, that was the big thing I couldn't get over, is that they have all this bling page three video culture. But on the street, you see people that are rejecting it time and time again. And they're from 15 to 55, 65. But they look different. And really what they're saying is, I don't buy into that culture. But we don't have that culture here.
I mean, certainly on a Saturday night in Temple Bar, you see people absolutely, you know, epitomizing what's been fed to them from the videos.
Yeah. And that's, I think, what I mean around sexuality. You know, the thing of actually who you sleep with or how it happens or whatever, that's further down the line. I just want to say, are you happy to be sexualized by your clothes like this? Is this what you want? Now, if it is, cool, fine. You're in charge. That's the celebration, you know. But, you know, if you're not, let's talk about it. And let's see what you can do, because maybe knowledge is enough for you to protect yourself. Maybe you just need to get more, I don't know, more European about your dress, because they don't put everything out in a way that, you know, we do, and in Britain and in America. You know, those midriffs and all that stuff for girls is just, for most time, it's degrading, you know. So maybe you start going in and say, okay, let's really get this sophisticated if you want to be beautiful. Absolutely. Let's take this seriously. But I just think it's all about, you know, these nails extensions and the hair straighteners, which are all grooming devices, fine. But then when you see them and it's freezing and they're walking in tiny little skirts, and it's not quite the same as when you've dressed up at home and you look terrific in front of the mirror. You know, when you're out on the street and it's cold and it's winter and it's Dublin and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, those clothes are saying something slightly different, you know, which is that, you know, you're not grounded.